We have a meeting tonight.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And what a beautiful day it is to be in the house of God and to celebrate Palm Sunday together. Our music bringing us into worship just conjured up that image of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And we are glad to be together to celebrate that. I would invite everyone who is here in the sanctuary and those who are joining us over live stream to register your attendance and let us know that you're with us. Here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row, and if you will pass those down and back again and take a moment to notice the names of the folks sitting near you and make a new friend this morning if there's someone you don't know. And if you're joining us online, there should be a link in the chat that you can click on to let us know that you're here. This is the first day of Holy Week, and we travel through this week as we follow in Jesus' footsteps all the way to the cross. And there are many ways that we can gather together in worship this week to do just that. Our Maundy Thursday service will be at 7 p.m. in the sanctuary and over live stream. We will celebrate communion and gather around the table with Jesus and his disciples on that night. On Friday, we will have our Good Friday service at noon here in the sanctuary and over live stream. And then on Easter morning, we will gather at 6:30 for the sunrise service. For those of you who really enjoy that kind of service, we'll be in the cloister garden, weather permitting. Then we'll have our regular services at 8:45 and 11 here in the sanctuary. And in between those two services, our Easter brunch will be in McWhorter Hall and on the West Lawn, again, weather permitting, just an opportunity for us to gather and be together as a community of faith, something we have missed over these past 2 years. We are having our Easter flower cross that will be part of that day. So if you're a gardener and you want to bring one of your flowers from home, you can put that in the Easter cross next Sunday morning. If you're not a gardener, like I am not, we'll have some available for you also to use and put in that flower cross. And we will turn that toward West End Avenue at the end of our worship as a sign of the resurrection for our community. It's my pleasure this morning to introduce to you a dear friend and our guest preacher this morning. Our preacher this morning is Reverend Dr. Artura Eason-Williams. She is the district superintendent of the Metro District in Memphis. Prior to that, she served Capelville United Methodist Church in the Memphis area for 13 years. She served other churches, served on the annual conference staff, and is now our current nominee for bishop in our conference of the United Methodist Church. The Tennessee and Memphis conferences recently joined together and created a new annual conference, and we have lifted her name up to be nominated for bishop among us. She is married to Darrell, who is here with us this morning. He also came to 8:45, so he is a devoted husband. They have 4 children, one of whom is actually a student here in Nashville at TSU. But above all of these things, she is my friend and our sister in Christ, and she brings to us a powerful word on this Palm Sunday. So, as we prepare to celebrate this Palm Sunday, I want to remind you that it moves us into Passion Week. We move toward the end of the service, toward the last days of Jesus' life. And to help us move into that, we will not have an organ postlude this morning, but you'll be invited to exit the sanctuary in contemplation and silence as we move into this week. But to prepare us for the triumphal entry of our Lord into Jerusalem, hear these words. Then the disciples brought a colt to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna."
Thank you.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. He comes with joy and hope.
He comes to set us free from fear.
Hosanna.
Hosanna. Glory to God in the highest heaven.
Our God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Trusting in these promises, let us now confess our sins and seek God's pardon on this Lenten journey. Lord Jesus, we are a fickle people, quick to turn away. We flock to you when all is well, but we are prone to scatter when there is opposition or criticism. Too often we have kept silent before you, afraid to proclaim your praise. It is easy to join the crowd as you ride triumphantly into Jerusalem, singing our joys and expectations, dancing our hopes and dreams. It is far more difficult to stand by you as the crowd cries for your crucifixion. Forgive our weakness when we turn away. Strengthen us for the journey ahead as we relive your suffering and death, that we might stay beside you to the end. Give us the courage to shout our hosannas, not only today, but each and every day. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Friends, hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. You can do that however you feel most comfortable, and if you're visiting us online, we invite you to do so in the chat. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you.
One of the great joys of a church is the sacrament of baptism. This morning, Gentry and Brennan Smith bring their daughter to God before the community of faith for baptism, and Megan Pullen presents herself for baptism.
Welcome. We are glad to celebrate this moment with all of you, a special moment in the life of the church. My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all this is God's gift offered to us without price. Gentry and Brennan and Megan, I ask all three of you on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Am I good? That's okay. You can, it's fine. Okay. It's hard to stand in front of all these people. Here's the third question. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord, in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say, I do. And Nancy will ask you, Megan, the final question.
Megan, according to the grace that has been given to you, will you remain a faithful member of Christ's holy church and serve Christ's representative in the world?
And Gentry and Brennan, as you present your child for baptism, will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will. And my friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these friends now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in service with others. We will pray for them to be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and those who receive it, to wash away sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
So as Megan, if you'll come and kneel down here. So Megan found West End as her spiritual home during her time in college at Vanderbilt with the Wesley Foundation too, and chose to be baptized here. Megan, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you'll put your hands on Megan, we'll pray for the Holy Spirit. Megan, may the Holy Spirit work within you that you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your life. Amen. 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 You'll come stand over here with me. And wonderful.
And now I ask you, what name have you given to your daughter?
Florence Candace Smith.
Florence Candace. I baptize you in the name of God, the Father who created you, Christ the Son who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who advocates for you and comforts you all the days of your life. Amen. Amen. And now, Florence Candace, we're all going to place a hand on you. So, Turo, would you like to join us as together we all pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit? Florence Candace, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, Florence Candace, we're going to invite you and your parents to come stand up front. I'll pick up your pacifier.
Thank you.
That's important. We don't want to lose sight of that. And we are going to listen now as the congregation makes their promises to all of you.
Will the congregation please stand and face these friends? Now it is our joy to welcome our new siblings in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Megan Lena and Florence Candace to your love and your care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Megan Lena and Florence Candace, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Would you join me in our prayer for illumination? God, through Christ you gave us the water of life. Make us thirsty for your word, that we may give witness to your great love, poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Lesson from Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, the word of God for the people of God.
I'd like to invite all the children who are in the sanctuary who would like to come join me up here. And if you're worshiping from home, just move a little closer to your screens and we'll share a special moment together. Glad to see all of you, and thanks to all of you who led us in worship with your singing. That was just beautiful and special today. Good morning, good morning. Oh my goodness, look at all these wonderful people. Beautiful people.
Come on up. All right. Welcome, welcome. I love watching the Olympics. All the different athletes and sports and fun things that happen. You like the Olympics? I especially like to watch the racing, the people who run really fast and their legs look like a blur because they're running so fast.
I like to watch the snowmobile races.
Yeah, snowmobile races are fun too. Yeah. Well, let me tell you a story about something that happened at the Olympics a few years ago, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. There was a race around the track. There were women running around the track really, really fast, and all of a sudden, one of them kind of tripped a little bit, and she fell into the woman next to her, and both of them fell over, and all the other racers just went on toward the finish line, and I saw one of the women who fell stand up, and she almost started to run again, but then she looked, and she saw that the person who ran into her was still on the ground, and she was holding her ankle like she had twisted her ankle, and she was hurt. So she thought for a minute, and I bet she was thinking about, you know, I could start running and try to win this race, or I could turn around and help my friend who's hurt. And she decided to turn around and help her friend. And she lifted her up, and they put their arms around each other's shoulders, and they limped over the finish line. And they came in at the very last. But you know what? Everybody who watched that race remembers them. And I think about that woman who chose to help someone instead of to win. And I think that's kind of like Jesus. He chose to help people and wasn't so interested in winning. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you when we get to see examples of people being kind, of choosing to help rather than choosing to win. Help us to be more like that. Help us to be more like Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Okay, well, Pastor Maggie is going to take those of you who are 3, 4, and 5 to Children's Church. And Pastor Aaron's going to go with you as well. If you're older than that, you can go back to sit with parents or friends. Thanks for being here.
I'm taking my earrings off before I start preaching because I tend to move a lot and they start clicking and probably drive the AV people crazy. It is a pleasure to get to be with you this morning. My name is Altura Eason Williams, and I've had the pleasure of knowing your pastor, Carol Cavan Dillon, for some time now. And I'm grateful for her invitation to be with you on a special day like this, Palm Sunday. I'm also grateful to have with me my husband, Darrell, who's sitting back there with Carol's husband. Honey, will you? There you go. He likes to clap. So, you know, don't mind him. I know y'all don't clap, but he likes to clap. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks and praise for this beautiful, glorious day, which in your graciousness you've gifted to us. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here. Hold us close now as we listen for a word from you. God, hide me behind the wisdom of your cross. Be with the meditations of every one of our hearts that they might be acceptable in your sight. God, prepare us to be better than we were before we came into your presence. And help us to go forward in your presence with thanksgiving to do your will and your way in your world. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. For a few moments this morning, I like to speak from the subject, the shape of discipleship. As I began to think about this text, I began to think about what is the shape of discipleship. And I kept thinking about, you know, humility as being the shape of discipleship. And I kept thinking about, well, how do we live into that image and the image and likeness of Christ? When I was growing up in church, and my home church is in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Centenary United Methodist Church, we were taught to do things like Jesus did. And Paul talks about Jesus being humble in this text. And I remember that we were taught to be a Christian is to be a cross-shaped people, living cross-shaped lives. We love God and we grow in our relationship with God by doing works of piety like prayer and worship, sharing communion, reading scripture, and fasting. And I think I have my microphone on backwards. Yes.
Okay, I'm gonna bring it around.
I promise it wasn't this hard earlier. We love our neighbors by feeding the hungry, by welcoming strangers, caring for the sick, visiting prisoners, witnessing for Jesus Christ. We love our neighbor as we love ourselves by growing in relationship with our neighbor. Now, I've been United Methodist all my life and a minister for more than 20 years. And if I failed anywhere in my discipleship consistently, it has been in the call of cross-shaped living, to love my neighbor as I love myself. And I suspect that I'm not alone. A little over 20 years ago, there was a movement called What Would Jesus Do? Anybody old enough to remember this? What Would Jesus Do? Somebody made a lot of money off of that one. There were t-shirts for the kids in the room that don't remember. There were t-shirts and keychains, and everybody wore colorful bracelets that said WWJD. And young people especially went out to do the kinds of things that Jesus would do with all this renewed energy and excitement. The cross-shaped things of prayer and worship and feeding the hungry and clothing the naked. Some people did those things and checked them off their to-do lists, their list of things to do. Others did those things and something in them began to change how they spent their time, to change how they spent their money. Some of them did those things and their vocation changed. Their view of themselves and the world changed. And I think the difference between those who do works of piety and mercy just as a checkoff on their to-do list and the people who do works of piety and mercy and begin to see themselves and their place in the world differently, I think the difference between the two is relationships. Now, we understand that we are to love God and to love neighbor, and we can do that. But we forget the relational part that is harder for some of us to do, especially when it comes to people in the margins, where we like to serve but not see people, where we like to serve but not hear their voices, where we like to serve, but not necessarily be changed. In our scripture lesson, Paul the apostle, whose government name is Saul of Tarsus, writes out of his cross-shaped relationship with Jesus the Christ. Note that Paul wasn't one of the original apostles. After the resurrection, Christian communities were forming as the gospel spread, and Saul was employed by the Roman government to persecute Christians. As a matter of fact, it is said that Saul was the best in that business. Then one day, Jesus staged an intervention on the road to Damascus, and a great light blinded Saul, and he fell down and heard a divine voice. He was blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink anything. In the meantime, Ananias received a divine revelation to go and visit Saul. Ananias was a little worried about this call on his life, but he was obedient and went anyway. Ananias laid hands on Saul, saying, "Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, sent me to you so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, the scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. And he got up and was baptized. Jesus invested in relationship with Saul, changed his name to Paul, and it is out of that relationship that Paul plants churches in Philippi and Galatia and Corinth and Ephesus. He spends the rest of his life not only trying to do the things that Jesus did, but in our scripture reading this morning, he lets us know that he tries to think the things that Jesus thought. Now, there's some disagreement disrupting the body of Christ at Philippi, creating disunity among its leadership. Now, you know how leaders are. You get these type A personalities that think they're right all the time, or that things aren't done right unless they're done their way. Anybody know anybody like that? Then you have the more subtle, quiet leaders who don't necessarily have to have things their way, but if they don't want to do it your way, they might just disappear. You know, move on and find something else to do. Anybody resemble that? And here we have everybody being right, but no right relationships. Jesus prioritized right relationships from the moment he personally invited 12 men to follow him to the moment he hung from an old rugged cross between two thieves. He loved us as he loves himself. Paul says, "Jesus was God, but didn't use being God to his advantage. He made himself nothing by taking on the nature of a servant. He humbled himself by becoming obedient unto death, even death on a cross." Jesus took on the nature, the posture of a servant. This is the mindset of Jesus. He came to serve, not to be served. And in his serving, he spent time with people who were considered a problem. He submitted himself to relationships with folks on the margins. He heard their cries and he drew near to them and changed their lives, but he also allowed them to change him. There was a Syrophoenician woman
whose daughter had an unclean spirit. She came and fell at his feet and repeatedly asked Jesus to cast the demon out of her daughter. And you remember Jesus' famous line that trips us up every time we hear it. He said, "Let the children be satisfied first, for it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But the Syrophoenician woman came back with this: "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table feed on the children's crumbs. Can I just get the crumbs?" The scriptures say Jesus responded, "Because of your answer, go, the demon is gone from your daughter." Now, Jesus could have been right, but the righteousness of God is evident in right relationships. If we want to fully live into a cross-shaped discipleship, we must have a cross-shaped mind to love God and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Gregory Ellison is the author of Fearless Dialogues. He writes of being in New York City on the train and an encounter that he had with a 57-year-old homeless man who had been stabbed outside a train station on 9/11 and hospitalized until that day, 68 days later. The man said to Ellison, "I am recovering, but I need help. I need food, money, whatever you have to offer." Ellison retrieved money from his wallet and, with his eyes downcast, lifted his hand from his seated position. But the recovering man would not receive the money in his palm until Ellison looked up. Catching his eyes with his own, the man responded, "Thank you." He sat nearby Ellison, pulled out a browning, half-eaten banana, and before taking a bite, his eyes found Ellison's again, and again he said, "Thank you." Ellison nodded in response, and as the train slowed, he stood up to leave, and the man reached out and grabbed his wrist. From a standing position, he looked downward at the man's reddened, watering eyes. In a faint whisper, the man said, "God bless you, man. Thank you." Incapable of speaking, Ellison nodded again in gratitude for the 10-word lecture that changed his life. In this encounter with this homeless man, Ellison saw, heard, and his mind was changed. He began to question his own thinking and to seek the mindset of Christ. His work and his ministry continue to be informed by what he calls the long, loving look, in sanctified silence, followed by a litany of thank yous that causes him to reflect on what it means to be a neighbor and to help others to do so as well. To live intentionally as Christ did, to see, to hear, and to change the 3 feet around us. When we change the 3 feet around us, it also changes us.
Brothers and sisters, I imagine that long, loving look is the same look Jesus gave to the blind man in John's gospel before he started moving spit and dirt around and spread the mud over his eyes and told him to go wash in the pool at Siloam. I imagine that long, loving look is the same look Jesus gave to the Pharisees in Luke's gospel when they complained that Jesus receives sinners and eats with them. I imagine that Jesus gave them the same loving look as he told three stories about lost things that offer a window into his thinking. He tells of a woman who searches high and low for a lost coin. Now, few of us will ever own a coin worth enough money to trouble ourselves to tear up the whole house. But have you ever lost your cell phone? My God does not rest until he finds me. Like the parable of the lost sheep, he will not stop looking for you until he finds you. Doesn't matter what we have done, the mind of Christ is right relationship. The third story, known as the story of the prodigal son, is about a father who doesn't act like us. This father lets his younger son, who isn't owed an inheritance, get an inheritance before the father is even dead. Now, where they do that at? Has anybody ever received an inheritance that you didn't deserve? Oh, nobody? Nobody? Well, let me help you. Every day, we receive an inheritance in Christ Jesus that we do not deserve. We are sinners saved by God's amazing grace. Every day, we blow it in some way. That may be why y'all quiet right now. Maybe we blow it in loose living like the father's younger son. Maybe we blow it because we think we've earned our inheritance because we have been so good. I know y'all been good. Did everything you were told to do like the older son. However, we blow it. The father gives us an extravagant, extraordinary, indescribable love. No matter how we mess it up, the Father gives us a love that is beyond measure, that is always welcoming, always inviting, and always ready to receive us back into the fold. Restoring right relationship is the mindset of Christ. Cross-shaped thinking that informs cross-shaped doing. Finally, brothers and sisters, Paul says, the mind of Christ calls us to think on these things. Whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. For it is in these things where you'll find the mind of Christ and the shape of your discipleship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We have been invited through the word powerfully proclaimed to live a cross-shaped life, to invite the cross-shaped mind of Christ to be in us. And we are now invited to respond to this word. We begin our response by affirming our faith together. And I would invite you to stand in body or in spirit and let us join our voices in affirming the faith in the Christ who calls us to this life. You may find the affirmation on page 883 in your hymnals. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. We continue our response to the unconditional love and grace of God through sharing our prayers together and lifting up those needs, joys, and concerns in our community. If you have prayer concerns or joys that you would like to share, if you are in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pews in front of you. We invite you to fill those out and place them in the offering boxes that are in the narthex or in Reed Hall. And if you're joining us online, you can go to our website and click on Contact Us and find the link there to share your prayer concerns. Your pastors meet every Monday at 1:15 to pray by name for each and every one. We pray together prayers of joy this morning. The rosebud on our communion table celebrates the birth of Cosmo Coker England, who was born to Sarah and Matt England on March 31st. He's welcomed also by his siblings, Bing and Birdie England. We also share our prayers of sympathy and compassion with Jewel McGee Rader and Leon Rader as they mourn the death of Jewel's daughter, Kelly Dawn Perry, who passed away on April 6th. Services are still pending. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of abounding grace and infinite love, you call us and draw us into relationship, a relationship that is grounded in your love for us and for all people and all of creation. May this loving relationship shape our lives into the shape of the cross, that we might with joy and freedom give ourselves away for the sake of others. O God, we join with you in your love and compassion this day for all who are hurting and suffering and struggling. We join our hearts with yours as we pray for the sick, in body, mind, and spirit. And we pray for those who care for them. May your strength and healing be ever present. We pray this day for the poor, for the hungry, the abandoned, the vulnerable, the lonely, those who do not have access to adequate food and shelter and health care and community. We pray for those whose lives are racked by violence, both close by to us and across the world, Especially today, we remember our neighbors in Ukraine and those places all across the world where there is war and violence and oppression. May we, O God, be instruments of your peace. Just as Jesus has poured out your unconditional love upon us, may we pour that same love and grace upon others everywhere we go. May we serve, not just in action, but in spirit. May the same mind be in us that was in Christ Jesus. And it is in his name, in his pattern of life, in his love, that we pray together the prayer that he taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Continuing our response to the love and grace of God that we have experienced in this time together, it's now our opportunity to offer our gifts. As we prepare to offer these gifts, we invite you who are in the sanctuary to share those in the offering boxes that are in Reed Hall and out in the narthex. If you are worshiping with us online, there should be a link available for you to click on and give in that way. Let us offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to our God who loves us unconditionally.
hear now this benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. Go now in peace, and may the peace of our Christ go with you.